Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So really, my last two slides are focused on Exhibit B, which is in the packet, the council documents of the locations that we're submitting to Metro, both outside the central city on this slide and within the central city on this slide. We will be looking for opportunities to advance these some of these projects through our undergoing projects underway, including the Central City in Motion. So the projects that advance through the planning effort led by our project manager, Gabe Graff, has its own public engagement process as well. We hope to come back to you this fall with recommendations on prior projects to advance in the central city, including hopefully some of these lines on this map, as well as more information about what we might be able to do. And then in terms of that timeline, we are looking to do project development and advance to 15% design by the end of the year on a select number of these, and then complete design on a set where we can commit funding to. So we'll be back sometime in 2019 with our recommended projects of which ones to advance past 30% design and to commit funding to. So this process will help us narrow down which are those ones that we can build in the 2 years and with what funding, and come back with an IGA that we would execute with your support.
And what kinds of funding sources would be used?
We have a number of projects could be eligible for transportation system development charges. In addition, we have some funding for the Central City in Motion project already, some including regional funds. 122nd Avenue is another example where we have Fixing Our Streets funds, roughly $2 million, and enhanced transit could be incorporated into that project and also could be eligible for system development charges. Our transit priority spot improvement program could also be a source, and we'll look for others.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Welcome. And just ending on the slide again, our recommendation for council action today. Thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you for your presentation. We appreciate it. Public testimony. How many people do we have signed up, Carla?
12, possibly 15.
Okay, so why don't we do 2.5 minutes for either 12 or possibly 15 folks? So the microphones slide around. When you have 30 seconds left, you'll see a yellow light come on. When the red light comes on, that means stop. Your time is up. Don't make me be Mike Cop. Name for the record. We don't need your address. We do need to know if you're a lobbyist. Thank you.
So it is 15. I've got a clarification.
Very good. Thank you.
So the first three are Terry Parker, Kim Marks, and Joe Rowe. They'll be followed by Rena Jimerson, Doug Allen, and Ashley Henry.
Terry, you want to kick us off today, please?
Yes, sir. My name's Terry Parker. I'm a fourth-generation Portlander. Over the next 20 years, car trips in the Portland metro area are expected to increase by 49%, regardless of how much mass transit service is added. Per TriMet's latest survey, congestion, road maintenance, and the need to increase roadway capacity was among the top priorities not directly related to transit. Only homeless and housing issues scored higher. PBOT, however, has been reducing motor vehicle capacity with road diets and street design changes that create more congestion, which in turn leads to engines idling and running longer, and thereby increasing fuel consumption and emissions. Many of the tools in the ETC plan will not fit within already constrained right-of-ways without doing more of the same and or removing on-street parking that locally owned small and minority businesses rely on. Even adding curb extensions that allow buses to obstruct other traffic and travel lanes when stopping for passengers add congestion. I call this artificial congestion. With the high volume of traffic, Sandy Boulevard is a major traffic street, a freight route, an identified ETC transit corridor, and a high crash corridor. The Rose City Park Neighborhood Association has twice voted to retain two full motor vehicle lanes in each direction on Sandy, along with retaining on-street parking. Also suggested is the development of alternative bicycle routes. The loss of either travel lanes or on-street parking would have a negative livability impacts on the neighborhood. One two-axle bus does as much damage to the streets and roads as 12 1,200 cars. Transit fares only cover 25% of the operating costs. Instead of attempting to dictate how people travel and just representing the alternative mode users that don't pay their share of infrastructure costs, when will the City Council put reality over fantasy, demonstrate transparency with motorist-inclusive committees, consider the results of the TriMet survey, and start equitably representing drivers who are the primary financial stakeholders that actually pay the taxes and fees that fund the majority of TSP projects? When will City Hall see the light and make room for more cars, which includes requiring adequate off-street parking for all new residential development? The most efficient way to jointly speed up transit service and reduce congestion at the same time is to straightforwardly make entire streets and corridors flow better. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Is this working?
Yes, sir.
I would like to ask for a few extra seconds as an accommodation while I read my statement. My name is Kim Marks. I'm with the Rosewood Initiative, and I am a paid lobbyist. With all due respect to the hardworking people who worked on this plan, it will not achieve the goals or the desired outcomes. The reason is simple. I do not believe there will be the political will to find the funding or support the transformative changes needed on these corridors. Thus, all that will happen will be tinkering along the edges that will not have any long-term discernible impacts on either congestion or on bus service as more cars fill the streets along with the buses. When the issue previously came up before this council last year, I provided a testimony regarding one of the tools identified in this plan, and that is consolidation of bus stops. I still have these concerns, especially given the division transit prospect and its devolving nature. The executive summary, almost a whole page is dedicated to stop consolidation. Nothing close to that is spent on dedicated bus lanes, so it is not hard to see where the bias is. In the name of optimal systems efficiency, a lot of people will be required to walk further, and not just a block or two, as the author of the summary suggests. The need for good grid is, this thing isn't working well, sorry. The need for a good grid is included as almost an afterthought. I want to remind you all of a few facts. Significant portions of this city do not have a good grid system. In addition to not having a grid, the streets in much of the city do not have sidewalks. Drainage is non-existent on these streets. Adequate lighting is a dream. These are the conditions people have to walk to just to get to the street with a bus before they have to walk, quote unquote, an extra block. When they get to there, they will probably find an overcrowded bus system. I'm just going to cut to the chase and not read the rest of this, if you give me a second. There's going to be a lot of people, especially in East Portland, that are going to lose bus stops. Division Transit, we lost 50%. And if you look at how they're trying to design or redesign those stops, they're not even platforms anymore. They're talking about people walking into the street across a bus or a bike lane just to board a street. So frankly, this plan isn't worth the paper it's worth. It was written on. I'm sorry, this is very emotional for me because I am a bus user, and I'm going to be living with people and using a system that you're targeting or TriMet's targeting to eliminate stops and create very unsafe situations for people. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Good afternoon. And as you discerned, about 6 inches is about the right distance. These are very sensitive microphones.
Good afternoon, Commissioner Udaly, Commissioner Fritz, and Mayor Wheeler. Thanks for your time. This is a very hard decision to make. And Commissioner Fritz, I really sometimes don't understand your statements, but the one I did clearly understand, which is I think 90% of our residents would keep their cars in their garage. I'm a cyclist and a car owner and a bus rider. But 90% of us, I think, share your vision of we would rather leave the car in the garage or not even own a car if the buses got us to work at an equitable time to a car commute. So here is my speech. I urge the council to commute only by bus for a month. Same for all city and state staff and most TriMet employees, including the board. Talk to people on the bus and drive. So while you're on that bus, talk to people and ask them, do you drive, do you bus? Those are going to be people who are going to guide your decisions as city council members. I observe that when I'm on the number 4 bus, it's trapped behind cars for about 40 to 80% of that travel time. That 45-minute map on page 6 doesn't show the damage of people driving alone and blocking buses. I think the elephant in the room is that we have to admit the problem in Portland is people driving alone. Those people are nice people. I do it sometimes. But we're forced into that situation. It's your job as a leader to force them out of that situation. Car ownership is a $9,000 burden on low-income people. That's data that I've researched from universities. How's that for some moving parts? Right? Cities care about equity, and they liberate low-income people by investing in transit, by keeping cars from blocking a bus with 50 people. If you really care about equity, you need to make these hard decisions. Also, the city and TriMet can't keep blaming Salem for lack of money. It's what you do with the dollars that you have. I'm running low on time. Other cities are very aggressive on public transit. Portland is a passive coma state. Seattle has grown to 25% of trips by bus. New York has drastically reduced their deaths. You need to take bold action on policy and budget, and you're doing neither. You're not taking bold action on budget. The budget for the ETC, when I went to a meeting last year, they didn't tell me till I begged them, $75,000 a year for the first year. That's pitiful. Okay? We need you to take bold action with budget and policy. Many of these things are free. You just need to make the hard decisions. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, all three of you. Next three, please.
Are Rena Jimerson, Doug Allen, and Ashley Henry. And they'll be followed by Bradley Bondi, Brad Baker, and Jillian Detweiler.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We only had three people. We've already heard completely diametrically opposed testimony. Help save us.
My name is Rena Jimerson, and I work for the Central East Side Industrial Council and the TPAC Advisory Committee, Transportation Parking Advisory Committee Program Manager. The Central East Side and its surroundings is currently the most dynamic and evolving part of Portland's central city. Over the past decade, the Central East Side has been an economic development success story, playing an important role in the city's economic and job growth. The Central East Side is home to more than 1,400 businesses and 17,000 jobs, more than any other district in the downtown core. Industrial use, largely family-wage jobs, and creative businesses sit side by side. While the scale and types of businesses are rapidly evolving, the Central East Side remains an important center for Portland's manufacturing sector. Just two important examples include Brands Bakery and Produce Row with Pacific Coast Fruit that moves 4 million pounds of produce and 100,000 packages a week into and out of the Central East Side. The company's 60-plus trucks load and unload products 24 hours a day, serving places as far away as Victoria and Vancouver, B.C., but as close as Fred Meyer's stores locally. An industrial district thrives or dies depending on how well it is served by freight. And the Central East Side Industrial District, nearly every business in the district receives raw materials and ships their products by freight. But just as the first page of the Enhanced Transit Corridor Plan says, we have to get better at sharing the space that we have. So that's why the Central East Side Industrial Council, as well as the Portland Freight Committee, Pia Welsh is sitting here as well, have agreed to ask Council and the report to recognize our request that dedicated bus lanes that are a large part of the plan also allow for freight transportation. While we agree with improved transit, the reason we're asking for this is through our many conversations, it's clear to us that the Enhanced Transit Corridor Plan will have certain will narrow certain streets, which would hinder freight transportation, and the use of dedicated lanes for freight would be much easier. Also, during non-peak hours, where there are fewer buses in these lanes, freight would travel more efficiently, which should have an impact on the congestion. And lastly, we have witnessed many businesses move out. Many businesses move out of the district because of roads and lanes that are too narrow. So we truly believe that this is vital.
That's an interesting idea. So I have a question for you. In this context, how are you defining freight?
Well, like I said, everything.
You don't mean all trucks.
Well, it could be trucks. It could be small vans. The way they're divided here, small vans, box trucks, flatbeds, semi-trailer trucks. All we're asking is that they share the lane. You know, like I know that they do speak of exclusivity for bus, but I do think it would help, particularly in the Central East Side, if they could share that.
That's an interesting question. Yeah, good. Thank you. Commissioner Daly, did you have a comment?
No, I was just kind of listening in. I do think it's interesting. I'm just kind of thinking ahead, you know, whether that would require a permit, whether we would allow them just on specific roads, ways that are most vital, you know, connectors to the Central East Side.
Good. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Interesting idea.
Yeah.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Ashley Henry. I'm the Chief Collaboration Officer for Business for a Better Portland. And I'm here today on behalf of about 50 members of ours who signed on to a letter that I shared with the clerk that goes into more depth about our support for enhanced transit corridors. It shares a simple message that our city's economic health requires a dependable transit system and that system desperately needs our help. As our city's population has grown, people riding the bus to work have become subject to ever-increasing commute times, wasting hours each week unnecessarily stuck in traffic. If we're serious about supporting business, reducing pollution, and creating economic opportunity for all, it's critical that we free the city's buses from traffic gridlock. For a model of how we can transform our transportation network, we should look to Seattle. Over the past decade, Seattle has seen the country's largest increase in bus ridership. In 2016 alone, ridership grew by 4.1%, double that of any other city. So what is Seattle's secret? It's inexpensive, targeted improvements to fix bottlenecks, resulting in streamlined service that is fast, efficient, and reliable. They have succeeded in creating a bus service that scales with population growth. Meanwhile, here in Portland, bus service has gotten worse as we've grown. Despite carrying far more passengers, our buses are stuck in traffic alongside personal vehicles and rideshare services. As a result, bus service has particularly degraded along arterial roads, carrying commuters from East Portland and other neighborhoods far from our urban core. Thankfully, you have a plan in front of you to significantly improve service without huge increases in spending. The Enhanced Transit Corridors plan will make targeted fixes to improve service on some of the city's most critical bus lines. The plan is smart, and it's tailoring its solutions for different locations. As business owners and employers, we recognize that a dependable transit network is key to ensuring that our employees, customers, and families can get around without losing time stuck in traffic. It's also important that freight is able to move freely and trucks are easily able to access areas to load and unload in the central city. Thankfully, PBOT has actively engaged with the region's freight industry as they develop this plan and are still having those conversations. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for being here. Good afternoon.
Mayor Wheeler and commissioners, my name is Doug Allen. I want to thank the City of Portland for taking on a leadership role in attempting to reverse TriMet's declining ridership. And I want to emphasize that the ridership in absolute terms is declining, which TriMet clearly shows on their website year over year for at least the past 5 years. And it's been pretty flat for the last decade. And I think the Enhanced Transit Corridors program is an excellent start in reversing this trend. But perhaps equally important, it's provided leadership for working on a regional program. So I want to congratulate the city for doing this. I have a couple of suggestions for improving the program. And I also want to say that having followed this program, I believe that already a number of suggestions that have been contributed have been followed. I've seen the program as I see it, change from oriented towards hiring consulting firms to do projects on long stretches of streets to something that's more embedded within PBOT, particularly the spot improvement program is great. And I think it would be great if you renamed it Enhancing Transit Movement or something similar rather than corridors. I think corridors reflects a mistaken idea about how transit should work. Because effective transit is not linear or one-dimensional. It must serve origins and destinations throughout a two-dimensional surface region. Among other suggestions I'd make, I think really it should be concentrated on trips under 5 miles rather than trips over 3 miles. Trips over 5 miles are probably better handled on transitway system, light rail, and whatever we come up with in the future to improve our light rail network. And also, I think the Division Transit Corridor is an example of something that was unfortunate that came before the Enhanced Transit Corridors project. So as Kim Marks has mentioned, they've removed, unfortunately, too many stops from the plan. But overall, I'd like to see this project move forward and continue to improve. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks, all three of you. Next three, please.
Are Bradley Bondi, Brad Baker, and Jillian Detweiler. And they'll be followed by David Bouchard, Orlando Lopez, and Keith Schultz.
Good afternoon.
Hi. I'm Brad Baker. I'll be brief. I ask that you please adopt the plan before you. Additionally, I ask that you please, with the corridors that were outlined that are experiencing great delays during peak hours, move forward with minimal outreach. You're going to, of course, hear a lot of crying about the changes. Incumbents, the folks who currently drive along those routes, people who use it now are going to complain, obviously. But once it goes into effect, it will make the system better. I just ask that you rely on the experts who have done the analysis and can see the system as a whole rather than individuals who are focused on their own individual personal situation. And then finally, I'll just say, to your point with people standing, this is a great solution. It is a pain to ride the bus sometimes when you have to stand up for a mile ride and you're stopping and it's a workout. So by allowing the buses to move quickly, you can address that. So thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi, I'm Bradley Bondi. This is good distance here.
All right. Yeah, that's great. Thanks.
When I heard about the ETC plan, I was very excited about it because as a transit rider, I know how slow buses have become. However, this plan is not what I hoped it would become. It's too timid. As currently written, this plan focuses too much on traffic impacts, parking studies, and the need for a public process around anything that might inconvenience drivers. Unless this changes, this plan will not accomplish a significant improvement to transit, I don't think. To change this plan into what the city really needs, I ask that you have PBOT prioritize bus lanes whenever a bus line fails to meet the metrics contained within the plan. So if a bus line is failing and the road has two or more redundant traffic lanes in the same direction, or if there is parking, some of that should be reallocated towards bus lanes as a matter of policy. So I ask that you guys be bold and make the hard decisions to make the transit in the city what it needs to be.
Very good. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Jillian Detweiler. I'm the Executive Director of the Street Trust, and I am registered as a lobbyist.
Thank you.
The Street Trust urges the adoption of this plan. The plan documents the need for transit priority. The loss of job access for people alone is compelling. The plan identifies tools that are available to expedite transit service. There are many. There is money. There is money at Metro. There is money at TriMet, both new money through HB 2017 and cost savings. The plan documents that $1 to $2 million a year are being wasted just trying to maintain current headways as buses are stuck in traffic. But this plan overstates the difficulty of implementing these measures. If you're committed to mitigating displacement, to expanding economic opportunity to low-income people, and to making growth tolerable, you must get buses out of traffic. And the Street Trust is eager to be a partner with the city and TriMet to elevate the voices of bus riders who are stuck in traffic and need relief. We stand ready to help work out the details where there may be a conflict between bus service and bikes. We don't want this effort to be like sitting on the number 12 bus on the Burnside Bridge. Everybody knows where we want to go, and we don't know when we will get there. We do urge you to amend the resolution, to have a date certain for PBOT to come back with a plan. April showed a schedule. It was heartening that there is a schedule. But we think that this IGA with TriMet should be back here maybe by January 30th, and that we should be providing relief to bus drivers by this time next year. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, all three of you. Next three, please.
Art David Bouchard, Orlando Lopez, and Keith Scholes. And then the last three I showed sign up are Alan Kessler, Tony Jordan, and Ariel Heinz.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So my name is David Bouchard. I am the chair of the Bus Riders Unite Research and Advisory Committee, and I am also a member of its steering committee. And I'm here before you today to express preliminary support for the plan as it moves forward. I believe it is. It's a step in the right direction. There does need to be more work done to prioritize bus movements in dedicated lanes and to avoid the removal of bus stops. I actually just, you know, personal story, I had my appendix removed last week, and as I recover very well, I have to walk slower. So I end up taking the bus a little bit more. I use it a little bit more heavily than I already do, and I use it a lot as it is. So I can appreciate the need to have bus stops close by to, you know, because you never know when you might need that. So I'm just putting that out there. And another thing to think about as this, you know, plan moves forward and how you're going to fund it, Chicago has done something really interesting, and that city has instituted a tax on ride-sharing services that will pay for transit improvements. So that is something that I really think that the council should look at in the future, is how to get the most out of the ride, you know, sharing services that are here, and to ensure that they pay their fair share for, you know, mitigating the congestion, and also to induce more transit demand by continuing to make ride-sharing services and other services which rely on use of an automobile more expensive and harder, so that we, in conjunction with increased transit service, of course. So that's really what I have to say around that, and good first step. Let's make bigger steps in the future.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, hello. My name is Keith Scholes, and I've been a resident of the Portland area for over 40 years. I'm a transit dependent, disabled senior who purposely lives on one of the major bus lines. This makes it easier to do the volunteer work I spend my time with. Most of my work involves transportation with Bus Riders Unite and housing with Community Alliance of Tenants. Both of these issues are intricately connected. Uber and Lyft are ride-sharing services which claim to reduce congestion when actually the opposite is true. These services take riders off mass transit and taxi services. Uber and Lyft should be paying their fair share considering the amount of congestion they are adding to our streets. I can't tell you how many times the number 4, number 9, and number 72 have been running late because of traffic. This has caused me to arrive late to several doctors and other appointments, and I hate getting there late. Reducing transit stops also is a false solution. It would negatively impact the elderly and disabled folks. And we need to invest more on street improvements and traffic signals that prioritize buses. And these additional vehicles on the road have also been adding to our air quality problems by emitting more carbon and other toxic pollutants. Let's meet our climate goals together by investing more on our public transportation system.
Thank you. Thanks, all three. Oh, I'm sorry, you have yet to testify. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Orlando Lopez, and I am a community organizer with Opal Environmental Justice and Bus Riders Unite. And we are here to show our support for the enhanced transit corridors, as long as we prioritize bus lanes and not the consolidation of bus stops. My job is to talk to folks on our transit system and how we can work together to make our transit system better. It was our group that pressured TriMet to create a low-income fare, and the fruits of our labor will be realized on July 2nd when the program goes live. This victory is part of a larger vision that Opal and Bus Riders Unite has to increase ridership in our region. For the past few years, we have seen a decline in TriMet ridership, which is due to a number of issues such as gentrification, people being pushed from rich transit-rich neighborhoods, safety and security, hours of service, frequency, and reliability. The numbers that you saw earlier today on the graph, that ridership was steady, that only covered up to 2015. But between 2015 and 2017, TriMet has lost 3 million rides, and the numbers for 2018 are not looking good. So most of these issues are issues that TriMet can address, but prioritizing buses is an area that the City of Portland must show great leadership in. As more and more people move into our region and ODOT moves towards tolling our highways, congestion will be moving into our streets and delaying our buses further. Where we differ from the recommendations of the Enhanced Transit Corridor proposal is the funding. Adding these projects onto the regional transportation plan to wait for funding may take years. The City of Portland should consider what other cities are doing to fund their programs, increasing fees or taxes on transportation network companies such as Uber and Lyft. Currently, Portland charges 50 cents per each ride that a driver gives, and last year Portland collected roughly about $6.5 million, which is about 13 million rides. Chicago, Philadelphia, New York City, and the state of Massachusetts, among others, have taken steps to ensure TNCs are paying their fair share. The city should not be giving discounted rides to Uber and Lyft users, as Lyft, because as I don't know if y'all remember me, but I was here and the last time as a Lyft driver. Folks who typically take rides during those times are people of means. It's not low-income people. So if you do an equity report about who is getting those discounts, it will show you that it's not low-income people getting those discounts. Studies by Northeastern University, Boston, Shaler Consulting, and Metropolitan Area Planning Council and others will show you that Uber, Lyft are also adding to congestion. So they need to pay their fair share. That is all. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, all three of you. Yeah. Next three, please, Carla.
The last three are Ariel Heinz, Alan Kessler, and Tony Jordan.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hello, commissioners. My name is Tony Jordan. You may remember me. I was here last week on my birthday to testify in favor of...
You look a little...
Yes, in favor of parking management. And unfortunately, I understand that that item has been pulled from its vote today, largely, I believe, in due to concerns about access to lower-income people to the downtown and commercial corridors. So I found it appropriate to come today and say that if we're truly concerned about access for people to downtown and our rest of our city, that enhanced transit corridors, particularly bus priority lanes, are the way to actually do that. So I encourage and, in fact, expect that any commissioner who is truly concerned about access to our city for people will take the lead on strengthening this proposal and making sure that it gets funded so that we get these bus lanes, because we can't spend our money on roads and parking garages. Transit is the solution to equitable and sustainable and safe city for people to get around. And following the bus lane project's recommendations of automatically triggering rededication of road space and parking space to bus lanes when quality of service degrades is critical if we're going to really do this. And I think this is, spend the money on this. And I also find it ironic that just I feel like we don't look at things holistically. I'm involved in this. I'm involved in parking. I'm involved in housing and infill. And it's interesting that I find that because these projects are proceeding at different paces, they're used as almost arguments to hold each other up. Oh, we can't prioritize the bus traffic because people can't live near the bus, and we can't but we can't build more infill because that will lead to more traffic. These solutions work together. If we were, for example, using performance pricing in corridors in downtown, that money would be used to subsidize transit passes. That money could be used to improve bus stops and to fund some of these projects included in this plan. So I just encourage you to really strengthen this, be bold, commit the money to mass transit, because it's really our only way out of the messes that we're in right now. Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Alan Kessler. I'm here with the Portland Bus Lane Project to support the Enhanced Transit Corridor and to ask you to go a little bit further. We want to thank PBOT, and we want to thank the city so much for the change we've seen over the last year in the consciousness about the importance of making transit work. We think that the plan is excellent. We are especially interested in the dedicated space, the queue jumps, the dedicated bus lanes that will make the system work better. We also share some of the concerns that you've heard and mentioned today. Going a little bit off script here, the Division Transit Corridor has been a disaster. That's what a corridor process takes. Let's gentrify the area. Let's give it nice facilities. Let's do everything at once. And in the end, the numbers didn't play out, and it's actually going to slow down the corridor. That's not the right way to do it. Our allies at Opal, I think, have the right idea. We need to start with the hard things. We need to start with the dedicated bus lanes. We need to start with the queue jumps. And we need to do those where the data says that it will free up free buses out of congestion. As the report says, TriMet is spending a couple million dollars a year to just keep service the same because of all the cars in the way. And as soon as you get those cars out of the way, you free up that money to increase frequency. Commissioner Fritz's point of having to stand, I live on the 4, so my experience may be a little bit different, but I frequently see when I ride the bus and when it's congested, the first bus I see will be packed to the gills, and then one or two empty buses will be stacked just a minute or two behind them. And that comes from the congestion, from the lack of reliability. So if we find all of those friction points and we start to ease them, the buses space out. They don't stack. They become more regular. And a great way to measure that is the variable speed difference between a segment. Like Commissioner Fritz, we're not that interested in speeding up the buses so much as increasing reliability and making the experience better for users so that you know that you're going to get where you're going. You know you're going to get there in a reasonable amount of time. So we would like you to do those two things listed in our letter. We would like you to amend this to direct PBOT that where there is a redundant car lane or where there is parking, and we're in either that 75 or that 50% urgent zone that we need to fix it, we automatically dedicate that space. We don't need endless public process to get there. We just need to do it as a matter of policy.
Thank you. All right, colleagues. Thank you both. That concludes public testimony on this item. Do we want to bring staff back? If you have follow-up questions, are you ready to go? I think we're good to go. You can sit there while we take the vote. That's fine. Carla, please call the roll.
You Daly.
So this is a interesting, challenging conversation for late in the day. Portland is at this, what I'm going to call an awkward phase, where we've had this massive increase in population accompanying congestion on our streets. a transit system that has not kept up with the demand and TNCs that have perhaps been able to swoop in and grab some of those customers that would otherwise be taking mass transit. I generally support this plan. I want to thank Busline Project for bringing their concerns, Business for Better Portland, and the Central East Side. I think you've all brought up really relevant points. My primary concern with this as is around accessibility for people experiencing mobility challenges. Adding another block or two of walking to these trips each way can be a hardship. And so I would really want to see a commitment to us using all the tools we have available. And that I'll say I somewhat agree with Busline Project that more public engagement is not necessarily going to result in a better plan for certain aspects of this project, but certainly we need to do public engagement around accessibility and make sure that we're not making our system less accessible. I'll say, as a parent who sometimes attempts to use public transportation with a child in a wheelchair, we really have inadequate and unreliable accessible transportation already. And sometimes people, especially wheelchair users, have to wait for a second or even third bus to get on the bus because those spots are already taken. So adding more commute time and to an already lengthy wait, I think, is a hardship. So I want to call that out. I'm very interested in the freight conversation. I think that should be looked at for a limited area. And, I mean, I'm always up for talking about how we can rein in the TNCs. There are too many of these cars on the road, and I'm not convinced that they are paying their fair share to offset the impact to our roads and to congestion. So I'm going to vote aye, but I'm going to keep pressing the city on these issues, and I welcome your continued feedback and involvement in this process.
Fritz. I concur with everything that Commissioner Daly just said. Thanks to Art Pierce and April Bertelson for your usual commendable process, and also for bearing the brunt of my questions early in the session. I knew you'd be able to answer them, even though I hadn't raised them before. Thanks to Janine Gates on my staff, too, who is, has been looking out for the equity aspects of this in particular. I will not support reducing bus stops. So we had a long discussion about that on division, and I went back and forth, but it's very clear to me that, as Commissioner Udaly said, just a block or two is a hardship, particularly, as was mentioned, in areas that don't have sidewalks, don't have streetlights, don't have drainage. And to me, being able to get to the bus stop first and get on the bus in a short frame of time, that's the issue that's going to determine, in a lot of cases, whether or not I take the bus. Not this. Once I'm on it, I'm in the dry, somebody else is driving. I actually don't agree with some of the assertions that were made in terms of people would use transit more, because the alternative is sitting in your own car in traffic where you have to pay attention, or you're still just sitting there stopped, and it's really unpleasant. Mr. Rowe challenged the council to use transit exclusively for a month. I use transit exclusively for 6 months every year because I don't see very well at night. So I would appreciate having late night bus service. I think that's another reason that Uber and Lyft have been successful, is that the buses just don't go to the places that I want to go at the frequency that they want to go to. So I grew up in Leeds, England, which is about the same size as Portland, and I still know which buses, where the bus stops are. I know I don't have to look at the schedule because the buses arrive every 5 minutes. And so they're never very crowded. There's always a certainty that there's one going to be showing up. And if it does happen to be a crowded bus, you just wait for the next one. So I believe that it's the frequency that's the thing that gets people, and the schedule, in terms of how late do they go on weekends. You know, there's one you get people used to going on peak times, but not everybody's going downtown. And it was mentioned the north-south routes, but there's all kinds of different routes that people may actually need to use to get to where they want to go. I mean, 72 is one of the highest riderships in Portland, and because a lot of it connects East Portland with the jobs on Swan Island and along Killingsworth. So we have, by United States standards, a good transit system. It can be a lot better. And I appreciated TriMet Management being here. It's been the last bastion of us not being able to work together very well in terms of governmental entities, that TriMet has not been receptive over the years to my input as a city commissioner. I don't think it's been particularly receptive to the community as a whole. So I'm pleased that the governor has appointed some new people to the board, some of whom actually ride the bus. We need people with lived experience of all kinds. You know, Commissioner Udaly is in needing mobility services when she travels with her son. It's important to make it so that if you have bad eyesight, if you are 60 years old and don't necessarily want to be walking a mile to get to the rapid bus stop, that there are choices available for us. So thank you very much for your ongoing work. I'm very interested in this, as was evidenced, and I'll be happy to work with you moving forward. Oh, by the way, the other thing is this is a non-binding resolution. And so this is setting a framework, and it allows us, as projects come in, to say, yes, you've got it right here, or no, you haven't got it right there. It gives the Bureau some guidelines. So I think that's really important. Aye.
Wheeler.
Yeah, I wanted to make that very same point. This is a resolution, and I see our folks here sitting here diligently taking notes. I think people raised really interesting points during their testimony, including a couple of new ideas, which I thought were provocative and worthy of future discussion. So expect that to happen. I think this has been a tremendous effort, and I know that the Transportation Bureau and TriMet, many others, have spent many, many hours putting this together, and it shows. I'm appreciative of it. I know Commissioner Saltzman wishes he could have been here to vote on his own work, but in lieu of that, I'll vote aye. The resolution is adopted, and we'll look forward to seeing what you bring back to council. And you know who the stakeholders are who are in the room who raised interesting issues, and we encourage you to reach out to them. Thank you. So call